A political win for Turkey's president, but will the economy pay a price? And thousands of women get behind the wheel for the first time in Saudi Arabia.
I literally was kind of jumping without people noticing. Do you know when you're so happy but you don't want to show it?
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has beat expectations to win Sunday's elections, avoiding a runoff. The victory consolidates his power. The vote was held under a state of emergency, and he's been accused of interfering with his own central bank's policies to keep interest rates low. The BBC's Selen Gerrit is in Istanbul.
President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's trump card was economy. In fact, he was perceived as a leader who put Turkish economy right. But that had started to change recently. Inflation stands at 11-12% at the moment. There is huge unemployment, especially youth unemployment. And there is this current account deficit as well. And Turkish lira has plummeted almost 20% in the last few months against the US dollar. So there was this increasing concern amongst the voters about the increasing prices in markets, for instance, especially onions, potatoes, when they were going out shopping. They were concerned. Prior to the elections, during the campaign period, economy was the primary subject that people were talking about. The voters are happy with what Mr. Erdogan has done, and they believe he is the figure to bring stability to this country. And if the economy is fragile, they believe a powerful figure such as Erdogan will be able to put it right.
That's not really what investors have been feeling. What is more political power for President Erdogan likely to mean for economic policy?
He had said just prior to the elections, during the campaign period, that once he was elected, he would have more authority, more control over the central bank. That kind of statements are not something the foreign investors will be looking for. Investors will need to see stability in this country. That is what Mr. Erdogan promises. But of course, he needs to build ties with the West more closely than he used to make sure that foreign investors will be looking to invest in this country.
Selin Gerrit, let's do the numbers. Those election results are helping send the Turkish lira up nearly 2% today, but overall the currency's down more than 17% this year. Now, seeking to offset the impact of its trade dispute with the U.S., China's central bank decreased cash requirements for some banks. That frees up more than $100 billion that can be loaned out to smaller firms. A British court will decide later today if Uber is fit and proper to hold an operator license in London. Last September, Transport for London refused to renew its license over concerns about passenger safety. Uber has been allowed to continue pending an appeal. The BBC's Rory Catlin-Jones has more.
Last September, Transport for London refused to grant a new license to Uber, saying it was concerned about the way drivers were vetted, as well as the company's failure to contact police about assaults and other crimes. Today's case isn't about whether that decision was correct, but whether Uber is now a fit and proper company to hold a license. In recent months, the company has tried to show it has changed its ways, agreeing to report crimes to the police and offering drivers sick pay. It is also seeking a license that lasts just 18 months rather than 5 years. A new boss, Dara Khosrowshahi, has tried to mend fences, admitting that Uber had got things wrong. London is one of the American firm's most important markets worldwide, with over 3.5 million regular users. The London hearing is expected to last 3 days, with executives from Uber and from the transport regulator giving evidence.
Rory Catlin-Jones. Now, Saudi women are no longer confined to the passenger seat. As of Sunday, when a ban on female driving was lifted, women have been getting behind the wheel to celebrate, even though the activists who campaigned for that right are detained or exiled. Ajwa Al-Judi is a 28-year-old Saudi woman. She lived and worked in the U.S. for 5 years, where she drove. But on Sunday, she was able to convert her American license to a Saudi one and drive in her home country for the first time.
Oh my God, it was the best moment ever. I literally was kind of jumping without people noticing. Do you know when you're so happy but you don't want to show it? I was in that mode. Once I got my driver license, my car got sent to me in my location, and I immediately drove it.
Now, there have been a lot of driving schools, haven't there, for women. And I also hear that women with their new licenses are driving for ride-hailing apps. Are you noticing a change on the streets?
The very first day when they announced that they're going to lift the driving ban on women, women have taken actions immediately, right away. The driving schools that the women have been training in right now, that started months ago, it's more practical. They have virtual reality. And also, they teach them how to check the oil level and change the tire and all that.
Adwa, do you still have to be accompanied, though, when you go out?
Not at all, no. Yesterday, I drove from my work back home alone, and there was no problem of whatsoever.
Now, a lot of experts are saying that female employment is going to jump in Saudi Arabia. How is this going to change day-to-day life for women?
It changed a lot. First of all, a lot of families, they cannot afford having a driver. Or they can afford the driver, but it takes a lot of their salary, their income. So being able to drive cuts a lot of costs to that family. I live by myself here in Riyadh. My family lives in Jeddah, right? So I Uber every day, and that's not convenient to me. When you go, just you decide to leave, you don't have to wait for anybody. It's kind of being free in your own world.
That's new Saudi driver Adwa Al-Judy in Riyadh. And in London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.